This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Cheryl, we meet again.
Tig, I want to say we cover a lot of stuff in this.
Yeah.
But, I mean, we do cover a lot. Listen, we do have a lot to say.
You know what? I had a really good idea.
Oh.
I would say if you are one of our listeners and you maybe do drugs.
Yes.
I would say do them tonight. Don't do anything that's going to hurt you.
No, though. But now's a good time to press pause.
No. Yeah, press pause. Do what? Get your mushrooms or shrooms
or
if you call them shrooms.
MDMA.
Get your marijuana mescaline. Or whatever.
Yes.
Yeah.
And sit down and enjoy this.
Maybe have a cocktail.
Coming in your earballs.
Yeah.
All right. Ladies and jerks, welcome to How to Change Your Mind.
It all started when Tig and Cheryl met in the mid-2000s.
Hey, nice to meet you, Tig. I'm Cheryl Hines.
Hi, Cheryl. I'm Tig Notaro. Should we do a podcast about documentaries?
Yes.
A podcast about documentaries?
Is this microphone on?
Five furious frogs fiddling faintly. Furious frogs fiddling faintly. Five furious frogs fiddling
faintly. I am the first ever podcast. And Tig and Cheryl are following in the sound of my footsteps.
Let's get started.
I'm so ready.
Tig and Cheryl.
True story.
Hey, girl, hey.
Hey, girl, hey.
How are you, Cheryl?
You know, it's the final countdown to saying goodbye to Kat, although I do love that our listeners want to see the movie version of me and Kat driving across the country.
What do you mean they want to see the movie
version? Well, on Instagram, you know, we have Tig and Cheryl, true story on Instagram. And a few of them are saying that would be the perfect film.
Oh, for you to film yourself driving?
Yeah, that we would be, and then we would eat granola bars and they'd be covered in bugs, like what happened in Puerto Rico. And then, you know, just by the end of it, we both can't stand each other, which might happen. Oh. It might happen.
There's no way. There's no way.
We don't know. But I will, listen, I will give updates. I'll give updates on Tig and Cheryl, true story.
You should do little video clips or something.
I know, I will.
And then have like Thomas do a little tiny like...
collage.
Yeah, yeah. That would be so
What if it's just clips of me crying on the side of the road? Like every two
all
hours.
All the better.
I just need
you mean
to pull
like
over.
Kat leaves you?
No, just like I need a few minutes alone so I don't cry in front of her and just like pull over and just cry and then get back in the car.
Is she patient with your emotions?
Yes, she's very sweet and she'll look at me and she'll say, "Oh no, are you about to cry?"
And is she just like rearing to go?
No, she goes back and forth too. She's like, some days she's really ready to go, and then some days she's like, "What's happening? I'm leaving all my friends. I'm leaving my family," and it's like, I know it's a lot.
Yeah,
but anyway, I mean, I know I'm not the only one. I know I'm not the only parent that had a kid go to college. Like, I'm gonna get through
it. Doesn't matter.
Yeah,
it doesn't matter if you're. That's like. You know, none of that matters.
Right.
It's important and it's your child.
Yes.
It's your life.
Yes.
It's your family. And you know what? We have a podcast and we are talking on the podcast. And I'm not going to stop you and say, you know what? You're not the only one.
Lots of people have done this and you're going to get through it.
And you know what? If somebody feels that way about you feeling sad about your kid leaving.
Yeah.
Then they can scram.
Clown.
Yeah. Because our numbers just keep going up and we can cut loose, okay?
I do like that one of our listeners said that told their boss to scram clown. And their boss looked at him like, I don't know what that means. Oh, God. Okay. Well, listen, should we just get – how are you? Let me do my obligatory – I'll ask you, even though it's really about my feelings.
I am fine. Okay. As you know, I keep thinking I have COVID, but I'm just not feeling – I'm feeling a little under the weather, and I've been on tour a little under the weather, but I keep testing negative.
Okay. And you're here. You're doing it.
I'm here. I'm queer. And
get used to it.
You need to get used to it. Yeah. Are you used to it?
I'm getting there.
Okay.
I'm on the verge of used to it.
Okay.
Tig, shall we?
Yes.
You
mm-hmm.
want me to just tell you what we're doing today?
Please.
Today.
I'm so excited about this episode.
Are you?
Oh, yes, girl.
Oh, hey, girl. Hey. Today we're talking about how to change your mind. It's mm-hmm. a 20.
Great title.
Yeah.
Great title.
It's a 2022 docuseries directed by Lucy Walker and Allison Elwood, based on writer Michael Pollan's book of the same name. It focuses on history and usage of four psychedelic drugs, LSD, psilocybin.
Psilocybin.
Whoa. You're coming in hot with that.
Well, I mean.
You got your eye on that. MDMA and mescaline. How to Change Your Mind is available to watch on Netflix. Okay, let's hear it. Why do you love this? I mean, you can't wait to – what can't you wait to do? You're going to do one of these.
Well, I don't have a drug history.
So you want to start one?
I do.
it's never too late.
I have smoked pot, you know, a few times, probably – 15 times in my life,
yeah.
And it was solely for, you know, my back or any pain that I was in. And I was trying to...
I thought you were going to say it was solely peer pressure. That was basically mine. Go ahead.
Well, you know what? I did, when I was in, I think, eighth grade, there was some kids that were standing around in a circle passing a joint. And it got to me, and it was peer pressure. So, and I did not want to do it.
Yeah.
And so I inhaled it into my mouth,
yeah.
but I didn't inhale it into my lungs and I blew it out.
Oh.
And so that was some peer pressure. However, this interest that I have, which it's very new.
Okay.
In doing psychedelics.
So when you watch this, were you like, okay.
Well, I bought the book.
Oh.
I have the book.
Have you read it? Or now you feel like you don't need to read it.
Well, no, I had just gotten the book.
Okay.
And so I had made my way into, but not finished the book. And then this documentary came out. So I was, you know, I watched the documentary. but yeah, actually, one of the things, as funny as the story may have been to some people and myself, I still have PTSD really bad when I got locked in that bathroom on tour.
I feel for you because, yes, it sounds comical because if you're a new listener, hey, new snorkable.
Hey, new listener.
Hey, new snorkable.
Meatball.
Hey, meatball. Tig was on tour. She got locked into a bathroom in her hotel.
Yeah, it was like a pocket door. And not only was I locked in there, but for a half hour.
And it really triggered you.
Yes. And I'm now having trouble getting into elevators.
Wow.
I'm okay if an elevator shoots up or shoots down very fast and then opens.
Okay.
But if it's a slow-moving elevator and there's a hesitation for more than 3 seconds, I go back to the panic and anxiety that came over me in the bathroom.
Wow.
And it's really bad. It's really bad.
Wow. And have you seen anybody for that? I mean, there must be
Well, I have a therapist and I've talked to her about it. And I've also told her that I'm considering
doing one of these four.
Well, yeah. And I had read an article about this author and filmmaker. And that's what drew me to the book.
Oh, Michael Pollan. Yeah. Well, it is interesting because in this documentary, so Michael Pollan, he's a 65-year-old writer and professor. And
is it Pollan or Pollan?
Oh.
There's no way to know.
There's no way to know. And he was in every frame of every bit of.
He was the star of the movie. And I'm sorry, I didn't catch his last name.
No idea. Could not
tell
you.
I know how to spell it. This is the first time I'm even getting involved in how to pronounce somebody's name.
By the way, when you came in hot with psilocybin, I was like, whoa, Tig.
Well, you know, I'm also on Star Trek Discovery.
Yeah.
And one of the actors on Star Trek, his name is Paul Stamets. That's his character's name.
Okay.
And he's named after the guy from this movie, the scientist, Paul Stamets. And he is a mushroom guy, Stamets is. And in one episode, me and Stamets
do mushrooms
trip out.
Oh, so this is just like a little wink to the people who know who that doctor is. Because honestly, I just watched this and that name does not ring a bell.
Well, yeah, Stamets on Star Trek is named after him. And then I, of course, am always interested and excited by the power of plants, whether it's through diet or medicine or whatever. It excites me.
And it is. And here you are.
Interested in trying to help myself.
Well, I think this is right up your alley, if you will, mm-hmm. because that's what a lot of this is about. This Michael, you want to say Pollan?
Michael P.
Let's just call him Michael. Michael P.
MP.
MP is explores the mind altering power of plants, and he calls himself a psychonaut. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's catching on, to be honest with you.
It must not be because I don't even remember him calling himself that.
Same. I just read it. But it's interesting because some of these, and I'll have to really go through it because I don't have a good mm-hmm. memory of what does what, but they're really helping people with PTSD.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought it was so interesting that you're watching clinical studies.
Yeah.
Where I don't think I'll be able to the subject will take whatever, if it's mushrooms or LSD, they lie down in a bed and then two people are just like watching them and taking notes.
Yeah. You'd feel too vulnerable.
Oh my God. I think I would go crazy.
And then you'd need to do the process all over again for the trauma that you got.
Yeah,
from
the PTSD, from people watching me trip on LSD in my tiny little bed.
If that gives you any insight on where my PTSD is, I was thinking, wow, how vulnerable to sit there still. I'm willing to do it.
Still, you're willing to do it.
I am willing to do it because it's really, really
important. It's
not just important, but it's
affected you.
It's really affected me in a lot of different ways.
I mean, listen, this sounds like it could be really helpful for you because PTSD, especially for anybody that's been in the military, is so powerful.
Which I have not.
Which you have not. It's so powerful and it's apparently very difficult to treat.
And have you done any sort of psychedelic drugs?
Well, tell me. Okay, here's the thing. When I was in college.
Oh, boy. Everyone sit down. Here come the college stories again.
It's not even a good story, and I probably already told it.
Well, of course. No. Nobody's expecting a good story out of you.
So I went to West Virginia University for a year, and I was the only person that could not go to spring break, seemingly.
You followed a guy there.
Yeah. And everybody else went to Florida for spring break. And I was kind of stuck in Morgantown working. And there were a few of us that stayed there to work, you know. And
was this the sex phone line?
No, this is a different. No, this was cocktail waitressing. And and they said, Cheryl, since we don't get to go anywhere tonight, we're going to do mushrooms. And I was like, okay. And so at some point, you know, we all got together and they gave me like a little tinfoil with mushrooms. And I wasn't ready. Mm-hmm. Okay. So I acted like I ate them. And I went to the ladies' room and I threw them in the trash. And then it went.
Maybe. Have you told this?
Probably. Let's be honest. This is a Bluebell situation. I went back to the group and, you know, and everybody's like, whoa. Oh my God. Mm-hmm. Are you feeling it? And I'm like, And then after a while, they were like, you didn't do it. I was like, you don't know that for sure. And they were like, we do know this for sure. What did
you don't know that for sure.
What did you do? Where is it? I was like, you guys, I'm sorry, but I threw it away in the bathroom and somebody ran up and, you know, then we ran into the ladies' room and the guy pulled it out of the trash can. He's like, are you crazy? And that was my experience with
psychology. I'm sorry. A man went into the ladies' room? That's all I'm getting from this story.
Laws were broken. Yes. So I probably told that story before, but it certainly is worth repeating.
Well, we can only hope you'll repeat it again this episode. We do have to take a break.
We haven't really.
I feel like we've started a little more.
More than
sometimes.
Do.
Yeah. And if this is your first time listening to the show, this is actually a more
thought out. Well, we know how
out,
you know how to pronounce one of the words.
Psilocybin. Mm-hmm. We can't pronounce Michael's last name.
There's no way to know. It's like you said, there's no way to know.
No. Yeah. So we'll be back after this break and we will talk more about Cheryl's college days.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
And we are back on Tig and Cheryl True Story. It's a comedy documentary podcast.
Yeah. You're not going to learn anything.
Maybe some things like psilocybin.
Okay, psilocybin. But I couldn't tell you what it is. Can you just say what it is?
Yeah. It's,
I mean,
it's,
that's, where does it come from?
Mushroom.
Oh, okay. Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So that was my experience. So I will say no, although I did do, you know, ecstasy back in the day. That's not.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
A bunch? Did you do a
no,
lot?
No,
no. You did a lot of it.
No, not a lot. No.
How much?
Oh, I probably did it like 5 times.
Yeah. I feel like in the 80s, when I was in high school,
yeah,
everyone around me was on X.
I know, and they don't call it that anymore.
Yeah, they call it Molly now.
Yeah, they call it Molly now.
Why do they call it Molly?
I don't know.
I'm always thrown off when, because that's that age difference thing with me and Stephanie, where she'll talk about Molly and I talk about
like
ecstasy.
Who? Yeah, I know. Yeah. And but I think ecstasy sounds a lot cuter than Molly.
Molly. Oh, yeah.
But I liked it.
No offense to any Molly's listening. You're adorable.
But I did like it. And it did make me see things differently. But it wasn't like I didn't see, you know, like colors and hallucinations or anything like that.
Well, I don't think you're supposed to on ecstasy. Yeah. I think it's just like really triggering the love and openness yes. vibe, which, by the way, I'm very curious yeah. about, I guess, the difference between doing these types of drugs recreationally versus doing one in a clinic and with somebody guiding you
right.
is what is potentially making the difference.
Yeah.
Here's the thing.
Yeah.
There are people
yeah.
that did acid and ecstasy or Molly or whatever it is, mushrooms, all through my childhood. People that I know of that did them all the time could not be more lame, like not open, not loving.
Right, right.
Like they've taken hardcore.
Not really enlightened, like,
yeah,
oh, I've got yeah. some secrets to the universe.
Yeah, no, just like close-minded cowboys.
Oh,
Truly, though.
That sounds like a special on Netflix.
But who used to be...
open-minded cowboys?
Well, no, that weren't even in the real cowboy Texas world or anything when they were younger. But since they've gotten older, you see them just more in the conservative, religious, Trump.
Really?
Yes.
You mean the people that did psychedelic drugs, that's how yes. they turned out? That is yeah. weird.
I'm not saying all of
no,
them.
No, of course
I'm
not.
Saying there are some, and I
That
when
is
I've
weird.
Been researching this and reading, watching this documentary, talking to people, that's what I find fascinating.
Well, yeah. So in this documentary, they do talk about, like you're saying, guided, focused.
Oh, what if I do this and I become a conservative cowboy?
And what if... It's the cowboy part that's really, what does that mean?
Cowboy boots, maybe some own ranches now. Some of them are like, you know, fishermen, like just.
Oh, outdoorsy?
Outdoorsy.
Long sleeve shirts.
Yeah. And like wranglers and ropers.
And what's a roper?
It's a type of boot.
A roper is a boot?
Mm-hmm.
A cowboy boot?
Yeah, ropers.
Is that like a brand or is that like, oh, I'm going to put my ropers on instead of my high boots?
Yeah. It's yeah, you wear ropers.
So they're the is it a brand of boot?
Well, no, you can get different brands of ropers.
Oh, okay. God, I don't know anything about cowboys, clearly.
Well, then I'm glad to know you're not a conservative cowboy.
Okay, here, let me just tell you about some of this documentary. Like, I'm going to look at notes so I can really tell you.
Uh-huh.
From 1950 to 1965, LSD was considered a medical miracle. No.
Mm-hmm.
Swiss chemist Dr. Albert Hofmann discovered the atomic bomb for your head. It was a compound derived from wheat. He accidentally tripped on it while making it. Oh, I don't think...
Were you thinking he tripped?
This makes it sound like he tripped in the wheat field. That's how you heard it? Yeah. I don't think that's what...
Well, initially, and then I realized because we're talking about...
psychedelics and LSD, he probably...
Yeah, he probably wasn't just falling over in a wheat field.
And he experimented with what we know to be massive doses of the drug. And LSD was made available to anyone wishing to study it. And then Humphrey Osmond was a Saskatchewan.
Mm-hmm.
Did I say it right?
Saskatchewan. You don't know that?
I do, but now I'm looking at it and it reminds me of Bigfoot. What's that called? Sasquatch.
Oh,
it looks Sasquatch. Like Sasquatch when I'm looking.
Sasquatchewan is what you're thinking.
Like, it does. When I look at this word, it looks like Saskatchewan.
Well, it is Saskatchewan.
Is that where Sasquatch comes from?
Well, Sasquatch isn't real.
Oh, no.
Remember Sasquatch is... Remember how you and I were talking about how maybe it's a mix of a human and a bear? And you thought, you said, and if you're new to this show, please go back and listen to the Sasquatch episode. No, but Cheryl asked if it is a combination of a human and a bear. She can't imagine that a woman is just going to have sex with a bear.
It does.
And I...
It is hard to, you know, wrap
well,
your head around.
Well, because the struggle is probably because the reverse of that is what... If that were to happen, which it didn't, it would be that...
It would be what? That a man would have sex with a female bear.
Yeah. And then for some reason, you thought a woman was going out and flirting with bears.
But is it possible that that's where Sasquatch came from?
Cheryl, there's no possible way to know.
Where was the first Bigfoot seen? In Saskatchewan?
It's never been seen.
Tig.
People are probably on psilocybin.
Oh.
Yeah, see?
Well, that's the thing, too, about these drugs. It seems like everybody in this series says it's better when you're outside and you see plants and they start breathing and living and you have a relationship with the universe and you feel it. I mean, could you imagine being in Saskatchewan tripping and then you see Sasquatch? I mean, that would
you
make
know what?
You
no matter what my headspace was, if I really ever saw Sasquatch, it would be quite a moment.
Even if you were tripping, you would think, I'm going to get my phone out and video this.
I wonder how I would have done if I was on mushrooms and got locked in the bathroom. Would it be a bad trip or would I be at peace with it? It'd probably be a bad trip. I don't know because I haven't done drugs. So I don't even know what a bad trip is. I know what having too much to drink
is. You know what a bad trip is?
What?
Okay, I know a guy who did, I guess he did MDMA. And he said that he was like in a tent with people and the tent opened up. An alien ship hovered, grabbed him, took him up into the ship, took him off to a different unit.
Is this a true story?
This is in real life. This is
did anyone get footage of it?
This is what my friend experienced.
Okay.
Then for some reason, he was turned into a vase.
Oh, yes.
And he was put in a museum.
It'll happen.
For thousands of years. He couldn't move and couldn't talk, and people would walk by him. And then one day, somebody walked by him and knocked him off, and it broke. And he was so glad because now he was out of the vase. They cleaned it up, put it back together, and he was a vase again.
It sounds like any person's dream. You know what I mean?
Oh, right. Like a dream that you might have at night?
Well, not like a dream of like, I hope one day.
I can be a vase for thousands of years and not be able to talk.
Yeah. It's that feeling when somebody's like, oh my gosh, I had the craziest dream.
Right.
And they sit down and they're like, I was a dog and I was flying through Europe.
Right.
And there was and you're just like,
They're never interesting. Other people's dreams are just not interesting.
No, but they are fascinating to you.
Yes, to you they're fascinating. But I think that's a bad trip is like, oh, when meanwhile his friend is like floating down through the earth, sees the different layers of the earth going through the core And then he like passes by someone that he knew that had died. And it was like a beautiful, like they their spirits passed through each other. And he had a really great feeling. And the whole time he just had this floaty, beautiful experience.
Hmm.
That's a good one.
Okay.
But yeah, if you're in a hotel bathroom and you can't get your pocket door open, I don't think you want to be tripping on any of these.
Right. And I don't know. I just can only take your word for it because I've...
Maybe this is what we need to do on our live show.
I was thinking that, honestly. Yeah. I was thinking how funny it would be if you and I were on X.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
If we were on X... on the live show.
No, it wouldn't, we wouldn't make any sense. And by the way, it's like, it's bad enough. We're bad enough.
No, don't say that. We are actually a hit sensation.
We are a hit sensation.
Wait, Cheryl, you would not do X with me on our show?
I will. I'll do it.
Oh, that would be amazing.
But wait, I mean, are we going to have to like call it something? Isn't it illegal? Is it legal? Thomas, is it legal?
Who cares? Nobody, the police aren't going to come over and arrest us.
You don't know.
I'm willing to take a risk because you can also say I wasn't actually on X.
Right. We were kidding.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my gosh.
Thomas, have you put together the list to or not? I guess you haven't, but you should definitely put a list together of these different things and have people voting. And then, but we have to take a break and we will come back. And this is so exciting. Cheryl and Tig on Ecstasy.
Oh,
or Molly.
Molly, you guys.
Oh my God. Your daughter goes off to college and you are streaming Molly live.
That's,
doing Molly.
Can you imagine how embarrassed she'd be?
She'll never know.
She'll never know.
Okay. We'll be right back.
Okay.
This episode is brought to you by Philo. Do you love TV? Do you love saving money? Then Philo is your solution. Philo has shows, movies, and live TV for just $25 a month. You can even try it for free with their 7-day free trial. No contracts, no commitments, no hassles. Just a better way to watch TV. Never miss a minute of shows like the hit docuseries Where is Wendy Williams? Or classics such as Friends. If you can't get enough TV, then there's no better way to watch. Philo has more than 70 channels like BET, MTV, and AMC. And the best part? You can try it yourself with their 7-day free trial. Sign up today at philo.tv/poppods. That's philo.tv/poppods to get 50% off your first month.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
And we are back.
Okay, seriously, I feel like we should talk about the...
Haven't...
Have we even talked about... Okay.
I can't wait to do that streaming show. Thomas needs to be on it, too.
But do we do Molly before we do the tortilla slap in the face?
We let the listeners decide.
The listeners, yes.
Yeah. And then we just go through
these
one at a time. Yeah, we go down the list. Oh, my gosh.
Okay. Bill Wilson, who was a co-founder of Alcoholics Anonymous, had a spiritual experience while on acid. Mm. And pollen suggests that psychedelics influenced AA more than Christianity, which is interesting because if that's true, then why isn't that part of the AA?
That I don't know.
There's no way to know.
There's no way to know. I guess that's why they say I'm a friend of Bill.
Right. I'm a friend of Bill.
Yeah.
And then you know that you're in the...
And then words out.
In the 50s and 60s, 40,000 research subjects were given LSD. Dr. Timothy Leary, a Harvard psychologist, got involved. he got the idea that your mindset and physical setting affected your trip, but then his studies got sloppy and he was kicked out of Harvard.
Wow.
Oh.
A sloppy studying. Sloppy studying. They should have seen me.
What does that mean? I mean,
I feel like my parents got that call all the time. Tig studies got very sloppy.
You're going to kick her out. They're like, yeah. No, please.
Oh, you know what? She left on her own. She's gone. Take your sloppy studies elsewhere.
The CIA experimented with LSD. Mm-hmm. They even dosed Ken Kesey, who would go on to write One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. Okay. Ken and his merry pranksters brought LSD to the San Francisco scene. I see. That's when it really got crazy balls.
I know. Acid is so San Francisco.
It is. It's like San Francisco. And what was it? Drop it to, what is it? Drop it. What is it? Wait, drop. It's got to be here somewhere. Tune in. Something drop out.
About. Scram, clown.
Tune in, drop out, and scram clown.
Graham clown. New t-shirt. Tune in, drop out, scram clown. We should also encourage our listeners to do X.
Oh, while they're watching.
While they're watching us slap each other with tortillas. Not for when we're on X. Just for when we're slapping each other in the face.
Oh my god. Oh, here it is. Turn on. Okay, we weren't. Okay, turn on, tune in, drop out.
And scram clown.
Scram clown. And that started to threaten establishment, right? Mm-hmm. So now in the 60s, you had these long-haired hippies who were on drugs. Then you had like the Nixon crew.
Mm-hmm.
And Nixon declared war on drugs. And he said they were public enemy number one. And in 1970, he outlawed LSD.
It's so crazy to hear a president say that psychedelics are public enemy number one. And then you cut to what's going on right now. Like, if that was our one, obviously there was still so much going on then.
Right.
But it's so insane.
It's so insane.
To That's make a statement like that.
Really worried about. And it's like, yeah. Okay.
At this point, we would just welcome everyone to be on psychedelics.
Wouldn't it be nice if everybody was just walking around, could barely talk, like, oh my God, I see the light. It's like fantastic. For the next three decades, psychedelic research entered the dark ages. But research started back up in the 2000s in Switzerland with promising results for depression and headaches.
Have you been to Switzerland?
I have not.
That's one of those places I really want to go.
It seems like they have their shit together in Switzerland.
It just seems beautiful.
It seems beautiful. They seem like open-minded, like,
and
peaceful.
I want to wear one of those little suspender things.
Hosenlater. Is that what it's called?
Don't know. Don't care. But I want to wear one of those little hats and the little
shoes seem very uncomfortable. The wooden clogs.
Whatever. I just.
You just want to go.
Wait,
there.
Are we thinking of
Germany? Oh, Holland.
Holland? Look, you went to college. I didn't.
I couldn't tell you. In my mind, it's like just the land over there where they wear.
We're like, oh, yes, Switzerland. They have sombreros. And,
and you wear the thing and then it's Oktoberfest.
Yeah.
Okay. And let's see. What else do we need to?
Is it Switzerland? Is it Germany? Or is it Holland? We'll be right back.
You know, there are people like screaming at us right now while
they're
listening.
Oh, all
the
time. Yeah. Especially the ones that live there.
Yeah. They're like, oh my God.
Because we have listeners all around the world.
You little assholes.
That's to you specifically.
The thing about this docuseries is it seems like almost everybody that did this, that did these studies or did this microdosing, that they had a spiritual awakening, mm-hmm. that they had a connection. There was somebody that had really bad OCD, and mm-hmm. he, after he did this, and like you're saying, this is focused. You know, you're doing it for a reason. You're doing it with a professional who's helping mm-hmm. you. It's not just somebody who wants to feel different, so they're doing a lot of, you know, LSD. This is
right.
This is focused and it's scientific. And then
you have like a, yeah, I guess a point to an end game.
Yeah. It was not just like,
let's party.
We're at a concert. Yeah. Let's party.
Somebody did have on a Pink Floyd t-shirt.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, and the one guy that has the hat made of mushrooms, what was his name?
Wait, wasn't that Paul Stamets?
Oh, that's your guy.
Yeah.
Oh, that's your mushroom guy.
Well, yeah. The guy that has the hat, a mushroom hat. Yeah. Sounds like Stamets to me.
I mean, the majority of the people are not people like in button-down suits that are.
No, but there are. I mean, there's so many scientists and yeah. researchers and even MP, you know. Oh.
It took me a second to remember. By the way, I'm reading in my notes here. MP
yeah.
took shrooms and exploded into blue post-it notes, and then he peed diamonds.
Come again?
Hello, is this thing on? While he was on mushrooms, he felt like he peed diamonds.
Wow. Imagine the cash that you would make if you were urinating diamonds.
It sounds painful, honestly.
Well, and after a certain age, you're going to the bathroom a lot. So you're just basically you're a diamond money. Factory. I mean,
you're a diamond.
Your front hole is a diamond factory.
Well, you can't help but, I mean, I'm just going to say it. A man's pee hole is tiny. So what kind of diamonds are coming out of that?
Girlfriend, you said it. Someone had to say it. But a man's pee hole is tiny. You heard it right here on Tig and Cheryl True Story.
People are so happy. They're learning a lot today.
Subscribe to Tig and Cheryl True Story. That's right.
People are learning a lot. Oh my God, it hurts me. Okay. I'm not doing a very good job breaking this down. I mean, should we be more organized?
You have like a drunk man laugh for some reason. Like somebody at a bar that you saddle up next
to. The problem is I watched this whole thing and I could not tell you the difference between any of these psilocybin.
Psilocybin, is it really?
Psilocybin.
Well, that's for you to stumble through.
Psilocybin.
Yes.
Okay. MDMA and mescaline. Oh, okay. Here's something I think I know. Mescaline is like...
Is it mescaline or mescaline?
mescaline. Oh, Thomas says it's mescaline. Okay.
You keep saying mescaline. I'm like, what? Have you? I mean, I've never done these drugs, but I know the words.
And that is like, is that like peyote? Thomas, is that peyote? That's the one that's like peyote.
Peyote, not peyote.
I said peyote.
No, if you go rewind this.
I say
peyote.
Okay, peyote. Peyote.
Peyote.
Peyote. You know the thing about peyote is? Here's one thing that I learned watching this.
Oh,
that I didn't know is I didn't know teepees had a hole at the top. I always thought, you know, the teepees were closed, that you could sleep in them and if it rained, you wouldn't get rained on. But that's not the case. The teepees have a hole in the top and they light a fire in the middle. Did you know that before this?
I'll be honest, I hadn't really thought about it. I hadn't thought, what if it rained on a teepee?
Doesn't it remind you of like a campground? Remember where there is a campground? What is it? The KOA or something? Mm-hmm.
And then there's like the knockoff brand of KOA.
Yeah.
AOK camping. I've seen that too.
Is there really one that says that?
Yeah. Yeah.
Do they have a teepee out front?
I don't know.
But apparently, I don't think it's a good, it doesn't seem like the structure was made for
a downpour.
I was just surprised that you could light a fire in a teepee. That's all I'm saying. And I felt foolish that I didn't know that. And I'm sharing it with you.
I'm picturing you walking up to like a reservation and going into a teepee and sharing your story about how you didn't know.
You guys.
There was a hole in the top.
You guys. I love this design.
It's me.
I didn't know. But when you do peyote, part of it is that you vomit. At the beginning, you purge a lot.
Everyone throws up?
I think so. So, which, by the way, is a deterrent for me.
I don't like throwing
up. I don't either. I don't want to do it by myself, and I don't want to do it in a circle full of people.
What is this, Cat in the Hat?
I think that people are very upset that I don't want to do peyote. For that reason. But apparently it's very, once again, very spiritual. And that's part of the discussion of some of these drugs is that they are used in medicinal ways for different cultures and also in religious ways.
But also in this doc series, mm-hmm. they talk about how you shouldn't be doing peyote if you're not Native American.
That's right. And if you do, you have to be invited. Mm-hmm. Because it is it's a sacred ceremony.
It's also scarce.
It's also scarce. Yeah. So, Tig, if you decide to do one of these for your PTSD, then it would probably be the MDMA.
I'm also interested to do mushrooms as well.
Just for fun?
Well, no, just because I have some friends I talked to recently that did it, and they're in their 50s as well.
Yeah.
And they said that they just really, I don't know. I mean, I like the whole idea of getting in touch with the importance of love and acceptance and forgiveness and whatever it is that people seem to be experiencing. I don't know. And maybe I'll come through all of this and be like, yeah, that was weird. Plant was breathing.
Well, it seems like, yeah, when you're talking about this, there's a woman in this documentary who has cancer or had cancer, and she was very fearful of dying. Mm-hmm. And then she did, I think it was mushrooms, right? Mm-hmm. And she and several people in this documentary said that their idea about death or their relationship with death changed. And it wasn't that they were now fearful of it. They were more curious. They got the feeling that it's all going to be fine. This is not a thing to fear. So that to me is very interesting.
All of it, all of those things to just have this
experience,
blanket experience of even if you're not, I mean, who doesn't need to be reminded of love and acceptance and
beauty and beauty?
Yeah, beauty, all of that stuff.
Yeah.
So yeah, it interests me for sure. I
mean, is there a downside?
I've heard, maybe it was through this series, because I don't remember the book, but I guess maybe I read something that MP wrote, but that if you have maybe some sort of like schizophrenia somewhere in you.
Right.
Or your family, it could
trigger it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know of schizophrenia in my family or in myself, but.
I know. That's a tough way to find out.
I feel like people heard us.
MDMA. Mm-hmm. It's posed to become the first psychedelic to be legalized for medical treatment. So this is the one that we're talking about that can really help with post-traumatic stress disorder. And because it floods the brain with serotonin. Mm-hmm. And MDMA was patented in 1912 by Merck. I thought that was fascinating. Weird. Mm-hmm. And then it sat on the shelf in the 70s, which I think is weird. Mm-hmm. Why did it sit on the shelf?
I don't have that answer.
And then Dr. Sasha Shulgin synthesized it and took it in small doses. And that's when they discovered it's helpful for PTSD. Mm-hmm. And then in the 80s, it got branded as ecstasy and became a popular legal drug. Oh.
Yeah, until like 1983 or 4 or something like that, it was legal.
Wow.
And I was truly with friends of mine in 85, 86 that were doing it like crazy.
You could call an 800 number to buy it. So the bottom line is that there seems to be and has been a big
disagreement. An about face.
Okay.
Oh. Well, I was going to say there's been an about face.
Well, right. You have physicians, psychiatrists who are saying there is really valuable information that we have about these drugs that we should be using. And then you have people that are saying, no, this will always be illegal and want to criminalize plant.
And what is your feeling? That it should be legal?
Yeah. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I haven't thought about it. Mm-hmm. It definitely seems like it should be legal for people to use as a in therapy.
Right. And not for a streaming show or a podcast.
Oh, that's a good point. I don't care. Listen, I don't care what people do. I feel like, yeah.
She doesn't care.
I don't care. Like, why not? I don't know. I don't know enough about the downside. But I also, if you want to do it, do it.
To be honest, it doesn't seem like you know much about the upside either.
I just watched 4 episodes of this and I still don't know.
Walking away clueless.
Yeah.
But you said you'd do ecstasy
with
me.
I'll do it.
On.
Oh my God. Nobody wants to see that. Nobody wants to see
that. Everyone would want to see me and you on X. On a streaming show. Of course they would.
I mean, wouldn't we get arrested? Does that sound like something we get arrested for, Thomas?
That sounds like a person paranoid on drugs. Thomas, nod yes or no. Would you want to see that?
Oh, he wants to see it. Do you think we could get arrested for doing that? Well, he doesn't know. He doesn't think so. Okay. Okay. Well, Tig, that... I don't feel like we did a very good job representing the
ideas.
I think
we did great. No, okay. People should watch the series, though, if it interests them at all.
Yeah.
Or if they're like, this is terrible. This is promoting drugs.
Oh.
And that's why that title is so great.
Yeah.
Gotta change
it, it is interesting, the idea that, oh, these drugs can open your mind to thinking in a completely different way that you're used to thinking every day. That's fascinating.
But also the title of How to Change Your Mind About Drugs.
Right. It's a two. Yeah. It's a twofold.
It's a threefold. It just, the thing keeps folding in on itself.
How to Change Your Mind and then How to Change Your Mind.
I just don't know where to go to have my focused session. I don't think I'm going to get much out of slapping me in the face with a tortilla.
I don't know. I don't know if that's going to cure your PTSD.
And I also don't know if we'll be a good example for, yeah, you should do psychedelics. Look at these 250-somethings.
Right, we're gonna have to think through this.
No,
Tig, are you ready for our final thoughts?
Yeah.
Okay. Whew, God, I gotta catch my breath. It's time for Happily Ever After Thoughts, where we give our final thoughts on this week's documentary. Did you cry?
I did not cry.
I did not cry. It's not a sad one.
No.
No. It's informative.
Yeah.
Who were you attracted to? I had to go back through and kind of, because MP is pleasant.
Yeah, I feel like MP speaks to me the most just because I feel like I'd want to talk to him.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? That would actually be a really fun episode to have him on.
Oh, and you know what? He might be able to point you in the right direction of where to go and who to see instead of just me slapping you in the face with a tortilla.
But also, it was also a toss-up with that one therapist, that blonde woman that was helping that, oh man, that woman that had gone through so much.
Yeah.
Losing so many family
members.
Yeah,
that was hard. Just, yeah.
Oof.
Yeah.
Oh.
There was a cute Professor Robin Carhart Harris. I only know this because I wrote it down. Oh, but the best part is he is a neuropsychopharmacologist.
That just rolls right off the tongue for you, doesn't it?
He was very cute. He's very cute. All right. That's all for this week's episode. Next week, we'll be talking about the Martha Mitchell effect on Netflix. Okay, Tig, before we go, would you like to hear some true fan mail?
Sure.
This is from Brooke. Hey, Brooke.
Hey, Brooke. Hey.
Brooke writes, in Keep Sweet, Pray and Obey, when you were reviewing ideas for the next live show, the live sex show option came up and you referred to the Madonna sex book. I had to go re-listen to the past episodes because I was fairly sure the first time a sex show was mentioned was before the Madonna sex book drivel. Sure enough, there in one of my favorite episodes, Octopus Teacher, Cheryl suggested a live sex show.
Add that to the list, Thomas.
Tig liked the idea of just walking in on a room full of people having sex, and Cheryl was actually suggesting a Q&A sex show where she was very confident she could answer questions about people's sex lives. I definitely vote sex show any way you want to do it. Your adoring snorkel in Arkansas, Brooke. I mean, I still feel confident that I could answer questions about. But I also, it would be interesting to walk into a, well, would it be interesting to walk into a room full of people having sex, or would it be so like, oh my God, I can't watch.
Oh my God. I would not follow you into that room. I would push you into the room.
And then hold the door closed.
Shut the door, and then you'd have PTSD.
Oh, wait. Is this a PS to that? Oh, wait. There's a PS. Mm. I must make an inappropriate comment and tell Cheryl that my husband and I do like to make national headlines to curb your enthusiasm.
Oh,
that can't be true.
Brooke.
That show actually has a lot of sex in it, and I agree with Cheryl. I also love the sound of Larry David's voice. I don't know. Did I say that? Did I ever say I love the sound of Larry David's voice?
I don't know.
I mean, Brooke is making it sound like I said that in a sexual way. Mm. And by the way, I don't know that to be true.
What?
If you
know what to be.
Well, if you were in a super sexy mood and you heard Larry David, you know.
Where are my slippers? Where?
Would that like get you going even more?
No.
Okay. All right, Tig.
Where are my slippers? Is that a line from any episode?
Where are my slippers? Where are my slippers?
No. Tig, that's it.
Okay.
Do you have anything that you want to promote before we?
Yes, I have a show in Honolulu August 12th. And then I'm also going to be at the Star Trek convention in Las Vegas this month.
Mm.
So come on out to that. It'll be my first Star Trek convention, but I'm performing. I'm doing stand-up.
Oh, okay. You're not like dressing up. I mean, honestly, I've never seen you on Star Trek. Do you have to dress up weird?
Nice job trying to act like you don't watch me on Star Trek. And I have other shows. You can go to tignotaro.com to see where I'll be, or you can see me on Star Trek, or you know what? Buy my book. I'm just a person. I also have stand-up specials.
Yubly. Okay.
That you can.
Okay. We're out of time. Yes, and you can watch.
Oh, you know what next? I forgot is my show on YouTube and on Amazon called Under a Rock with Tig Notaro. In fact, Mr. Thomas is the head writer.
Whoa.
Yeah.
You really do a lot of stuff. Mm. Well, you can look at my Instagram account, _Cheryl Hines, and I'm sure I will be mapping out my my road trip with my daughter. You'll be able to see highlights. Okay. All right, Tig.
Oh, I know. No. I also have another podcast called Don't Ask Tig. You should listen to that.
Okay.
Cheryl and I are on an episode.
That's true.
I'm on every episode, but I was on one.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Should we do it again?
Yes. Let's do it again. Tig and Cheryl True Story is hosted by me, Cheryl Hines, and Tig Notaro. It's produced by Thomas Ouellette, audio engineered and edited by Thomas Ouellette, with production assistance from Bobby Pearson. Music by David Sussin. Special thanks to Gabby Kobasich, Patrick McDonald, and Stephanie Allen. Follow us on social media for updates and review and rate True Story on Apple Podcasts. We really appreciate it. You can email us at tigandcherylTrueStory@gmail.com.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.